The other night we were speaking to you about the Comforter. In St. John chapter 16, beginning at the first verse, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall speak not of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come, but hath, as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. That day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, if you'll notice, there's quite a number of things here that Jesus speaks of that's real striking. One thing is, I go to the Father, and you won't have to ask me anymore. That is to say, I will not be with you as a natural man anymore for you to ask of me. But because I go away, you can ask in my name. And then he says here, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, which makes it very obvious that Christ within Jesus is the Comforter, and that he has to die for the remission of sin, as I said the other night, or there'll be no Comforter given. Because unless sin is taken away, the Comforter cannot come. So then he had to depart for more than one reason as to the Comforter coming back, to yield up his spirit, that it might go to God and return into your body, to yield up his body, that body might be given. taken out of the way, not to be given back into the world during the time of this great, wonderful move of the Comforter. Because the Comforter is as Aaron, the high priest, in the officiating within the tabernacle of your human body, which is in the wilderness wandering of your intellectual reasoning. And the body of Jesus must thus be crucified, pay the price for sin, then you will be able to receive the Comforter, which is the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of life. And the body, in the meantime, being a vesture dipped in blood, in that his countenance was marred more than any man, must be set on the throne at the right hand of the Father and remain there until the days of the Christ officiating within the temple is over. And then that Christ will return to the body of the Lord Jesus and bring him back as to pick up that body on the throne that he set there, which is the blood-dipped vesture, and bring it back to join it unto you as the Father of his children or as the head of the church. And he says here, I must go away. I must go away. He said, I've been talking to you in Proverbs as to the Father. He said, but you'll come to know him plainly. And he said, now when the Comforter has come, he will have a job to do. And that job will be to reprove the world of sin. Of sin because they believed not on me. That is, as we said earlier, sin which is unbelief in that he hath fulfilled all righteousness in our behalf. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now you could take a long time just explaining these one, two, three, these things. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now that I've said a lot of things to you, Jesus said, many things I've said unto you. He said, but that's not all that I want to say. And said, I have many more things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. That is to say, as long as you do not have my spirit within you, you could not bear these things that I want to say. But he said, now when the Comforter comes, it will still be me, and I will still be tutoring you, and I will still be telling you things. And the many things that I have to say unto you that I've not been able to say unto you, I will then say unto you. I will say these things to you as I guide you into all truth and righteousness. He said, a little while and ye shall see me no more. As to the body, in a little while and ye shall see me. That is to say, in the return of the Spirit. Having eyes to see, we see him return. He said, the world will not see me. He said, but you shall see me. He went on to tell them, for I shall be in you. So then we see that the Comforter, it's necessary to have the Comforter. You need to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And at the upper coast of Ephesus, Paul asks the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And again I say unto you, they said that we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, then into what baptism was you baptized? If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, he said, then what kind of baptism do you have? And they said, we were baptized with the baptism of John. See, and now I say again, as to the same man that baptized John, perhaps in the same place, but still did not receive eternal life. And yet the promise was to be baptized for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why is it that they were baptized by John, and why is it they were baptized in the very same place of John, and why is it that they did, or where John baptized Jesus, that is, and why is it that they did not receive the Holy Ghost? See, there was a reason. Number one, the reason was that the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, for John was the forerunner of the coming of the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet died for the remission of sin. Therefore, they were not being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ as to enter into the glory of the Lord. They were being baptized as under repentance, but they were not being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So it could not be said to them that ye be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. it could not be said to them as it was said on the day of Pentecost at a later date. When Peter said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you and unto your children as to as many as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So then we see that there was a world of difference, nothing less than a world of difference, between the baptism of John and the baptism of Christ Jesus, as in his name. So then the Bible says that Paul, having met these same disciples later, after that Jesus had died for the remission of sin, and the gift of the Holy Ghost had come, he met these at the upper coast of Ephesus. And he said to them as he was preaching, he said, have you fellows received the Holy Ghost? Are you people? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, well, we've not even heard so much as whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. We've not heard that kind of doctrine, they could have said. And he said, well, then under what baptism have you been baptized? He knew that there were disciples, and they said, well, we're disciples of John. We've been baptized under John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with water under repentance, saying, believe on the name which is to come, which hath remission of sin. Or that is to say, John said, I baptize you under repentance, and ye shall believe on him that is to come, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop and unloose. And so the Bible said that when they heard this, knowing that John had taught them that the coming of Jesus was at hand, that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they laid hands on them and they received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which means that you need to be baptized again if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, what difference does it make, you know, how you was baptized? The thing is, I was baptized, they say. Evidently, these men had been baptized. But still, there was a difference. Because they had been baptized by John and been baptized under repentance. So someone would say, well, I've been baptized. Well, I ask you the question, was you baptized in the name of Jesus? How was you baptized? Some would say, well, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, that's wonderful, you know. These men were baptized under John. But I still tell you, you need to be baptized over, because there's no remission of sin in the name Father. There's no remission of sin in the name Son. There's no remission of sin in the name Holy Ghost. The remission of sin is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, whereas the Bible said, and these three are one, and the name shall be called Jesus. So then, everlasting Father, the Bible said, and the name shall be called Jesus. And a Son shall come, his name shall be called Jesus. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And he said, when the Comforter comes, which is the Holy Ghost, he'll come in my name. So then, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, even the name Jesus. So then I ask you, how was you baptized? You need to be baptized over to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For the Bible teaches that we're planted in his likeness. Or that is, we're baptized for the remission of sin, and as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And Peter said, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that saves you, but the answer of a good conscience by baptism. So then he spoke of the old world as being overflowed by water, speaking of these that had been saved by water. And then he goes on to say, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save you. Oh, that is to say, as my Father has sent me, Jesus said to the ministry, so send I you. Whosoever sins ye shall remit, shall be remitted. Whosoever sins ye retain, shall be retained. And so then, I as a minister have the power to remit sin through his name. And I do that by the burial of the body of that death that Paul spoke of. To take the body of that death that was crucified at Calvary, if you be crucified with him, then are you buried with him in baptism. And I have the power to bury you in baptism. And when you're buried in baptism, that means that you are dead and that you are buried and planted in his likeness. We come forth in his likeness as to the resurrection. So then, in that it is the death of Jesus, it is the crucifixion of Jesus,
then it is the burial of Jesus and it is the name of Jesus. So then I am baptized for the remission of sin, or that is to say, when my body is planted in the watery grave, then the body of this death as to corruption is now gone. And when I come forth, I leave that body there, and I come forth without that body, and my spirit thus enters into the body of the Lord Jesus, and I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh in the mind of God, and it will be made manifest at the last trump, because this mortal being shall be changed into his likeness at the coming of the great Jesus. That is to say, Jesus will come as the head for the members of his body, and I, having put on Christ Jesus, am now part of that body. So then you are baptized for the dead, and as many as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ Jesus, and the body of sin is now dead, and it's now buried, and that is remitted in that God, according to the Bible at Calvary, rent the veil in two. And the rending of the veil was the separation of the body and the spirit, as to say, the Lord and the Christ. With Jesus it was the Lord and the Christ. With the church it is the body and the spirit. And Jesus did that in the behalf of the church. That is to say, he made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ, which means two. And at that great rending of the veil, the Bible said, as to his own flesh, making a new way through his own flesh, as to the rending of the veil, he separated the spirit from the body, he folded up the body of sin and laid it away, and then that was given to me, in that that was my body that he folded up and laid away, and he that knew no sin was made sin, even my sin, folded that up and laid it away as to the part of me that was sin. And now I am resurrected in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Having been delivered from my offenses, he is raised again for my justification. And it is not I that liveth, but now it is Christ that liveth, having raised up in a new form. And the Bible said, as they walked with him on the way to Emmaus, their eyes were open and their hearts burned within them as he expounded the word to them by the way. So then we see what a greatness this is as the salvation. I have then become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, now all things are new. And I once was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. So then, the old has passed away. I now have the Comforter. I was baptized for the remission of sin. All that is to plant my body as to the sinful image in a watery grave, to say now Jesus has took away my sins. And now I am no more a living soul, but I am a quickening spirit. For the Bible teaches that is born to flesh is flesh, and that is born of spirit is spirit. And when I was born to flesh, I was flesh. And then when I was born to spirit, today I am spirit. Everyone that's born is a spirit. For the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, a living soul. And in that I could die, because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But in that I pass from death unto life, I can no more die, because I am not as the living soul, I am now as the quickening spirit. I've been born again by the washing of the waters of regeneration. I've been placed in the generation of Jesus Christ, which is the spiritual generation. So then the Comforter has come. He has entered into this body. How did he enter into this body? The Bible said to be baptized for the remission of sin, and then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that is to say, Brother Pike, as long as you are Brother Pike, as long as you are born of the flesh, then are ye flesh. As an Adam, all die. You're born as an Adam. All die. And as long as you're born of Adam, you are a fleshly being as a living soul. And you are guilty of transgression and sin as in your father, in that by the sins of one man, sin came upon all the world. And by the righteousness of one man, righteousness and life and grace, mercy came upon all the world. So then when we look at it, I say, well, why is it that you don't just go ahead and give me that infilling of the wonderful Holy Ghost? Or why don't you give me the Comforter? Then he would answer me back like this and say, I cannot give you the Comforter because you are in the image of sin. And I cannot place the confidant within your image of sin. But if you will be baptized for the remission of sin, then the image is gone of sin. And when you be baptized, the Bible said, be baptized for the remission of sin, and then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because if I'm planted in his likeness, as in that he was made the image of sin, then I've done away with the image of sin, and then when I come forth, I am no more the bastard child as the image of sin, but I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, or is not me living but Christ Jesus, and in that I am the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that spirit that departed from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ will return back to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it will come into me because I am the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that the things of God knoweth no man, but they do know God. And if I be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, then are you gods. And if we be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was God. So then the great Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, will come to me after that I'm baptized for the remission of sin and put away the old body of sin. So then I'm saved not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh as to do's and don'ts, but the putting away in that I planted that body in the likeness of death, or in that Jesus killed that body and took my spirit out of that body, and in that sin is conceived within the flesh, sinful flesh, then that means I am free from sin. At death, my spirit went back to God who gave it. And so then I'm hid with Christ as to his angel within God's spirit, which is the great, wonderful, angelic host of heaven. That is to say, all the environment in which the angels dwell. So then, I am equal to the angels and cannot die. I pass from death unto life. So I was baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. My body is now gone. I am now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I now have the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, which is the Spirit of Christ, for it has come back within my body, and I received it because I was baptized. I washed away my sin. The writer said unto Paul, be baptized and wash away your sins, Paul. And so then with the baptism I wash away my sin because I wash away the old body. And the veil is rent in two in my behalf at Calvary. My body is separated from my spirit, and my body is now buried within a watery grave. And my spirit has gone back to God who gave it. Or that is, it went back into the body of Jesus. For the Bible said at Calvary in that particular time called the fullness of time, God would gather all things in heaven and earth into the body of the Lord Jesus. So he hath gathered me into the body of the Lord Jesus. That is, he has gathered my spirit through the Holy Ghost into the body of the Lord Jesus. In that ark of Noah, there was the creeping, there was also the other. Creatures of darkness, creatures of night. So then, by making the Lord Jesus an image of sin as to the sight, in the likeness of man, which man is the image of sin. So inasmuch as the children were partakers, he partook also. So then in making him in that image, that was where he trapped Satan. He trapped him right there in that body, and he done away with him at Calvary. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I've destroyed him that hath power over death. You have nothing to fear anymore. Greater is he which is Christ Jesus within you than he that is in the world, even Lucifer, the one that hath the power as to the prince of the world, having the power over death. So then when the veil was rent in two, that was me. I died. Now I'm buried. And he became my sin. And in that body, he trapped the things of darkness. And in that body, he trapped the old raven as to the crow. See, and in that body of sin, he took the things of darkness, demon powers and whatsoever, in the confines of that body, as to reach out and dethrone Lucifer and brought down Lucifer's kingdom. Now, that's why that at the ark, the crow was turned to loose, or the raven was turned to loose, to go out and feed on the old unclean things. To go out and feed on the old unclean things, on the body that was floating around on the water. And so then there, when the Lord cast out of the body, your body and my body, Lucifer, the infiltration as to the old raven, as to the evil spirit, he had no more resting place. He could no longer be in the grace of God. He was cast out of heaven. That is, the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of the world having been in you, God put the world out of you, and with that he put the king out. He dethroned him, which was Lucifer, and out went the raven. And so then Satan was cast out of heaven, out of life, out of that which was within you. And today you have the kingdom of God within you, and you have the great eternal spirit as to the covenant of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And Satan is now destroyed. He is no more in your mind and in your world. He is defeated. And the Bible tells you to be of good cheer. He didn't tell you to be of good cheer because you have wrought the works of salvation. But he said, you be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In other words, that is, what I have done has been accredited to you. So all you got to do is believe in what I've done. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even your believing in what I've done in your behalf or your faith. Therefore, taking the shield of faith, you can quench all the fire darts of the wicked, because Satan cannot penetrate that faith. Contend for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints by which you're sanctified. So we see that by the remission of sin, I as the minister, I baptize you, I plant you in the watery grave. When I plant you in the watery grave, you thus have washed away your sins, because you have buried as to the old man Adam, and he's dead and he's gone and he's no more. And your angelic being at death went back to God who gave it. So when you raised up in the likeness of the Lord Jesus, it was then bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as in the sight of God. And though you're walking through these valleys, God sees from mountaintop to mountaintop. And over here at the end, God sees the change of your body to that eternal body, which means that your body is, as we say so often, the purchased possession. It's already been paid for at Calvary. It's already been purchased at Calvary. And when you were baptized, God gave you that new body, the redemption of your body. See, and he looks on it as bone of the bone of Christ Jesus and flesh of the flesh of Christ Jesus. But you can't see it. The world can't see it as through the natural eyes, because they're beholding the lying vanities and they're in confinement as to the world of darkness, which means intellectual reasoning, or the mind of Lucifer that took into captivity the body at Calvary. So then that means that you are free, in that the world cannot see when good comes. They cannot see when good comes, but you can see through the eyes of understanding. And the Bible said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, then you comprehend the height, you comprehend the width, you comprehend the length. And we realize then that we are free from sin and death, because the Bible teaches that the law has power over an individual as long as they live. But if you die and they plant you in a grave out here, the law doesn't have any power over a dead man. And we being dead to sin by the body of Jesus and dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus, we being dead to unrighteousness, then the law hath no power over us, because that was the law of sin and death. Thus are we free from the law of sin and death, and it's not us living, but it's Christ that's living within us. And the life that we now live, we live by the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. All right, so we see the Comforter will come. Jesus said, if I go away, he will come. Be baptized for the remission of sin, that ye may receive the gift of the Comforter, of the gift of eternal life. For you're now the beloved body of the Lord Jesus, and you now have eternal life because you have the Spirit of Christ. And God now in his foreknowledge sees you as the Spirit of Christ, and he sees you as the body of Christ, and he sees you with the mind of Christ. So then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So then we're made in the likeness of God. Therefore we are equal with God. as to the wonderful mind of Christ. And God already sees us like this. It's already accredited to us because the body hath already been redeemed. It is the purchased possession. And Christ Jesus purchased it at Calvary. So then, giving you the Spirit is the earnestness of your inheritance, having purchased your body as the purchased possession. Through this earnestness are going after the body to redeem the body under ourselves, not that it isn't redeemed, or not that we have to redeem it as to pay any certain price, but we're redeeming it in that we're going after it to take it and wrestle it out of the hands of Lucifer. Because the Lord Jesus has already redeemed it. He spilt his blood for it. That's what he bought. And that's why you're baptized with him in the water. You're baptized in him with the water because it is the body. And you're putting off the body of death. And now you're taking on the new body of righteousness, which body he redeemed at Calvary. See, so now are ye the redeemed body. But it doth not yet appear as to your understanding as what ye shall be. As to your eyes, you cannot see it, only in the comprehension of God's word. See, but as we go through the transitional change, as to glory to glory, working on and bringing this body into perfection and bringing it into view, as to get full control of it, as we say, and putting the bridle on it, as to that spirit of the inner man, then we bring it to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Oh, that is to say, we go on to a full reward in Christ Jesus. And then at the sounding of the last trumpet, when the mysteries of God are finished, we will comprehend through the revealing of those mysteries the redemption of our body. Oh, we will come to know through that ministering that our body is already redeemed. And as I said today, I made this statement today, all of this great power is there. We have, as we say, 440 volts somewhere coming in as to electricity. But in here we have 110 volts. It's not that the power isn't there, but the receptacle only calls for 110. If you have the kind of receptacle that could handle a 240, then the 240 could come in. But in that you can't handle God in his fullness all at one time, then you have to set up the transformer. And it transforms, or it breaks down, it converts or changes from the 240 or the 440 down to the 110. And then we get that 110 as just a little something to give us light and to help us. And we use that 110 to cook with. We use it for our lighting. We use it for so many things. All of that electrical current that's coming in, we use it. Even the cosmic energy as to electrical current coming down through the hypothalamus, we use that as to stimulate, to create the vibrations within our body, in that scientists or knowledge tells us that we have to have X amount of vibrations in every component, as we would say, or every organic part of our body. We have to have so many vibrations under the heart, so many vibrations as under the kidneys, so many vibrations. And we live by vibration because the only life there is the quickening. And I've explained to you in the past how that God has converted man over. How that when he lost that overshadowing or the illumination or the quickening of God the eternal spirit, the quickening spirit, he had to switch man over to a quickening thing, which was an angelic force, in that Satan is a powerful spirit. Switched him over to that, to the inspiration, as to the human senses, as to the sensual way of life. And thus the quickening of the human senses as to the stimulation keeps us alive. And that's what Satan is seeking. As long as the blood on the seat of atonement, he is seeking to get into your body. And when he gets into your body, then he picks up these stimulations into the vibrations, even witches work by those vibrations. And that is a refreshing to him as a spirit because he is cut off from that great vibrant world of quickening. See, and he causes you to overindulge because your spirit requires quickening to stay alive in the body. Not that it requires quickening, but to stay alive in the body. And seeing that Lucifer is in the realm of darkness, he is in the realm of torment. He's in the dry places and cannot find that water of life as to the quickened. He enters into your body because there's blood on the seat of atonement, and through your body he gets this rain that comes from upon the unjust by that means, and thus he stays alive as to keep the body alive. Then, when all of this is over, there won't be any more stimulation for him, and there won't be any more healing. There won't be any more life. It'll eventually all be gone. But we have been switched over to the quickening as the human senses and the Bible. This is why it uses the term that some have sensually separated themselves from the Spirit. They have, through human senses, separated themselves from the Spirit because they're given their angelic being to car racing. They've given it to hunting. They've given it to frolics. They've given it to passions and all of these other things. See, they have separated their spirit from the quickening of God, and they have given it to the things of the world. See, as to the things of the world. Now, I know that we're babes in this little body, and we have to go by that quickening until the day when we come to the knowledge and understanding of God. And at that moment, if we change over to the light, then are we coming from childhood off of the milk into the meat? That is to say, we come into the eternal quickening. So then, I make this statement a lot of times that this is the condemnation that has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. See, light is coming to the world. Understanding is coming into the world. And now they know this thing, but they don't want to change to it because they are children of darkness. Well, that is to say, when this light shines, it shines upon you. And now has come the day star. Now has come the light. Now has come the true word of prophecy, a more sure word of prophecy. Now that this comes to you, you can judge the situation by the illumination of this light, which is given you during the time of dispensational grace as to the blood being on the seat of atonement. Now, when it comes to you in that you are religiously inclined, as to that inclination, then you get into the environment. And then you see this and you know what's right and you know what's wrong. But you don't want to do right, then that is the light that reveals the children of light. Because when this light comes, it reveals the children of light, in that when they see light and righteousness, they are creatures of light and they go after that. And they want to conform to that and live and walk in that light. Whereas the Bible teaches that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse you from all sin. And the light, of course, is the understanding of right and wrong. So then these that are creatures of darkness, it is suddenly revealed to them as to their judgment, beginning at the house of God, as the minister ministers to remit their sins according to faith. See, that is to say, they see the light, but they don't want the light because they are creatures of darkness. And their deeds are evil, and they love that darkness, and they love that way of life because they're creatures of darkness. Therefore, the Bible teaches that that is their judgment. Now they know, and they cannot be saved because they've come to the light, rejected the light as to the proof of who they are, and thus the judgment has come upon them, and the separation as to the segregation from the bad and the good. And God has thus separated the sheep from the goat as the minister preaches the word of light. And that is what they're charged with in the day of judgment. They're not charged with all of their do's and don'ts. Their judgment is according to the rejection of light, not loving light. Because even children of light stumble, and even children of light make mistakes, and even children of light have to be forgiven. And the high priest is interceding in that they go to the high priest as to the body pleading for forgiveness, in that they are already sealed unto perfection within their inner parts, and Christ is within their inner part. Then their inner parts cannot sin because it is born of God. Therefore, the body is pleading with the Christ that's on the inside of the spirit, or sitting on the throne of your heart, and the body is pleading. Whereas the Bible speaks as the all of God being within Jesus. And when Jesus prayed, the Bible said in his prayers returned into his own bosom. For where else could they go? Because God in the fullness was there. So then you praying, you're talking to God and your spirit is interceding for your body, and that Christ is within you and the spirit is in here and here is the body. And your spirit is interceding as to Christ repenting for all of the mistakes and errors that the body is making. And Paul said, I'd like to present you to God, body, soul, and spirit. I don't want to be a bodiless person. That is, as a bodiless angel, in that angels in heaven have no body. I don't want to be as an angelic being without my body. I want my body, because my body is given to me as a gift. If I overcome evil, if I possess the body, if I redeem the body, then do I have the body? So he said, I'd like to present you body, soul, and spirit blameless before God. All right, so we see that the Comforter will come. You do have a right to the Comforter. He will be with you. He will tutor you. He will teach you. He will lead you into all the great revelational truths of Almighty God. And the minister will preach to you. The minister can baptize you, and you can wash away your sins. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the man said to Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. And of course, Paul did that. Paul was a great scholar. Paul was a Hebrew. Paul had everything to his favor as to godliness, even from the Old Testament, right on. He said, as touching the law, I'm blameless. But it was necessary for him to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. See, a lot of times people get things misconstrued because they say, well, Paul said God didn't send me to baptize. You know, I just baptized a few people, he said. He said, but I plant. Apollos watereth. And God giveth the increase. See, do you get a harvest without water? Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Then, should we be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin? Of course we should. Because if we are dead, it doesn't stand to reason that a man should be dead and you not bury him. And if we're dead, somebody says, well, I accept that by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm dead. I would ask you then the question, I would say, why do you accept it? You would say, well, I would say, how do you even know about it? You would say, by the Bible. I'd say, well, why do you accept it? You would say, well, the Bible says so. I would say, then that means that you are a believer because you accept that. He would say, yes. I'd say, well, then doesn't the Bible also say that you should be baptized for the remission of sin? Do you believe that? And he would say, no. I would say, well, the Bible said line upon line and precept upon precept, that inasmuch as you don't believe that, you couldn't believe the other. Because the proof of the other is that if you believe you're dead, you believe that you should be buried. You don't leave men laying around or women laying around when they are dead. That's what causes the stench in the church, is the unburied. So then we find out that there is a reality in water baptism. Because there is a natural body, there is a natural water. Someone would say, well, I'm very spiritual, Brother Pike, and I just don't believe in that natural water. But yet you believe that you've got a natural body, and you believe in naturally eating, you believe in naturally sleeping, you believe in naturally working, and you believe in getting a hold of some natural money. But when it comes to the natural baptism, you don't believe in that. You know why you don't believe in that? It's because you're not a true believer in Christ. See, because the Bible teaches that we are buried with Christ. And how are you going to bury somebody other than in water? Water is a grave. God chose that so that he wouldn't have to naturally kill us. See, otherwise he'll naturally kill us and put us into the grave. That's the only way we could be baptized, is to be naturally killed and put in the grave. But in the water is a baptism as a burial into death, then he buries us in an actual grave, which is water, which is a grave that they use to bury sailors in and people out to sea. So he literally buries you in that water, and then when you come up a new man. You leave the old body behind as to the image of sin because of the death of Jesus Christ, and it's no longer that that was delivered for the offenses of sin, but it is the new man that is come forth in a new form, the Bible said, And that is, he is resurrected for our justification. Delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ if we believe it. And that is why it is said that we are justified by faith. To believe that we are justified by what Christ Jesus done, then it is accounted unto us for righteousness, even as Abraham, when the Bible said God imputed his faith unto him as righteousness. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, his iniquities are taken away, and blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, but God imputeth unto the man faith for righteousness. How do you understand what I'm saying? Can you give the Lord a hand? So then the Comforter is come. Now the law and the prophets until John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been preached, and men press their way into the kingdom. Or as we say, the kingdom of God is an inheritance. It is an inheritance. You don't see the kingdom of God by eyes as to observation. For the kingdom of God hath never and never will come by observation. The law and the prophets till John, and after that the kingdom is come. Now the kingdom of God is here, and the Bible said, pray that his will be done on earth as in heaven, because the kingdom of God is now here. And so then we see that the kingdom of God is come, and now we're to pray that the mind of Christ be within us, and that this body is made out of the dust, so that his will can be done, so that we can set up his kingdom here on earth. So since Calvary, you can now, by the eyes of understanding, being enlightened, you can see the kingdom of God. Comprehend the kingdom of God, the heights, the depth, the width, the length of the kingdom of God. And I repeat this to you again. Many shall come from the east and the west, even as they've done since Calvary. And they shall be translated into the kingdom, or set down into the kingdom, and the kingdom, as to the children, shall be cast into outer darkness. That is to say, the Jews being cut off in that they were the children of the kingdom in the days of David. So we see that we have been translated into the kingdom, but we have pressed our way against this evil body of death and dispute. For men press their way into the kingdom of God. And since then, the preachers have been preaching the kingdom of God and preaching the name of Jesus as the entrance into that everlasting kingdom. So today there's a door that's open in heaven through which you go to get into that kingdom that John was in. The law and the prophets. Where is the kingdom? The Bible said, repent, believe ye the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. So you inherit it. Flesh and blood cannot receive it. It is an inheritance, which means spirit. And you inherit it. By faith you inherit the Spirit of Christ. And it becomes an heritage to you. It enters into your body as to your spirit. And it has set up its regime as to a kingdom in your heart. Let's stand together. Have you then received the Comforter since you believe? If you've not received the Holy Ghost, then let me encourage you to receive the Holy Ghost. For when he, the Holy Ghost, has come, as to the Comforter, he shall reprove the world of sin. That's why when you hear a preacher preaching and reproving the world of sin, it is the Holy Ghost. It is not him that speaketh, but the Father that speaketh from within you. He hath the power by your faith to remit your sins. And then when you receive the Comforter, he will tell you to be baptized in his name for the remission of sins. Or if you are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're baptized, you shall receive the Comforter. But whichever way you go as to believe, when you believe, then have you received life by the righteousness of Christ, and your body is thus gone. And the burial is the proof as to the testimony to all mankind that it is gone. And you're eligible for the Holy Ghost. Someone would say, well, can you receive the Holy Ghost before? The Bible said, Cornelius, they received the Holy Ghost as they believed on the word as Peter spake it. He spoke the word, but immediately as they received the Holy Ghost, it guided them into all truth and righteousness. It was said, be baptized. Here's water. You should be baptized. And they were baptized. And down at in the city where Philip was preaching, the Bible said he preached the kingdom of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Or that is to say, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, then received the Holy Ghost. So, as it was with John, it was said to John, thus suffer it to be so as of now. Be baptized, for this is for righteousness' sake. That is to say, he will guide us into all truth and righteousness, and baptism is part of righteousness. So then, Jesus, being our example, was baptized in water. And that means that when we stand before God and we say that we don't believe that it was important, and the king sitting there on the throne talking to us, and he looks at us and he says, I took time to come down out of heaven from glory into the earth to go to a muddy river to put my body down in it, and you tell me it's not necessary? You tell me that you are a doctor, a lawyer, or you some one in the upper echelon that's too important to leave your throne, which is really nothing but rags and which is nothing but beggarly elements, and you can't go be baptized in my name? See, there's no way to explain your way out of it. You need to be baptized for the remission of sin. You need to bear that body of death. And when the Holy Ghost has come, he will guide you into all truth, into all righteousness. And what is righteousness? Baptism is a part of it. How do you know that? Because Jesus said to John, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Suffer it to be so now, John. Go ahead and baptize me. All right, so the fulfillment of righteousness was to take away the law. Let's sing a little chorus together. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. He died upon the cruel cross of Calvary, gave his life there just to be our friend. Go tell your children and your children's children of the second coming of our King. He will stand upon the lovely Mount of Olives, salvation to a dying world to bring. Sing it with me. Go tell your children and your children's children of the second coming of our King. He will stand upon the Mount of Olives, salvation to a dying world to bring. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, for the Lord is coming back to earth again. Tell your children and your children's children, salvation he's going to bring. Been to the Mount of Olives, I've been there numbers of times, and I've looked at it, and I've often thought that from there he ascended up to heaven. And then I thought, someday, as they saw him go, he will return again. He'll come back down to earth again. Can we sing another little chorus, Frank? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altars. There's always room at the cross. Though many have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. There is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at
the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all day. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Can you sing that with me? Every hour I need thee. I need thee. Now, precious Savior, oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. You love the Lord? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. So come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening. So come home, we're going home at last. In memories now, I was but a boy in days of childhood. I used to play till the evening shadows fall, winding down an old familiar pathway. At evening I could hear my mother call, come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
Let's lift our hands and close our eyes. Sing this little chorus together. Lord is good to us. He blesses us. Let's sing this little chorus, right?
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stay on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
Say it again.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
You know, time is gone. And we're here in eternity. Hard to understand, but we're in eternity. And I think about this wonderful thing of being in eternity, having been delivered from death unto life. And it's so wonderful. This morning, been a little bit tired today. Didn't get to rest any over the evening, and it was about near 7 o'clock when I got into bed this morning. But thinking about the Lord and talking to the Lord and getting so carried away with the Lord and the wonderful things of Jesus, this great, wonderful salvation, this great, wonderful kingdom of the living God, getting so carried away with it. You know, there's a great supernatural strength that comes from somewhere. And there's something that God does for us, you know, to keep us strong and alive. Though sometimes, as human beings, we feel a little fatigued, yet never weary in well-doing, and always ready to do something for God. Always wanting to do something for God. As I said to somebody today, day and night, the weight of souls, I feel it. I feel it upon me, day and night. There's never any rest, never any rest, to the extent that day and night, I must call upon Him. I must call upon His name. I must call upon Him while He's near. I must find Him and search for Him while He can be found. So tonight we come together again to worship the Lord, to talk about the Lord, to tell about the wonderful things of God,
to receive of our Heavenly Father, to come and eat it, feast at His wonderful table. So wonderful He is, so wonderful. And we sing this little chorus that Jesus has been here all the time with us. Yet as He said to Thomas, "Hast thou not known me? Hast thou not known me?" And yet He was there all the time. And we sing that song, and He was here all the time. He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. Was here all the time. Sing it with me now. And He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul, found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho, and He poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul, found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, poured in the oil. Oh, sing it with me. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine, the wine that restored my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. Poured in the oil. One more time. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. Poured in the oil. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Can you sing it with me? Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. Ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, night, I'm old, resting, spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, night, I'm all dressed in faultless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Love the Lord. Let's give Him a hand. Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias, oh Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the blind, and the blind could see. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the blind, blind could see. Kind of a man Jesus is. Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the lame, lame could walk. What kind of man Jesus is? Well, he spoke to the dumb, dumb could talk. Kind of a man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move. They put old Paul in the Roman jail. Didn't have no one to go his bail. But when the Lord got ready, he had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. For when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Put old Daniel in the lion's den. Poor old Daniel didn't have a friend. But when the Lord got ready, had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. For when it's ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. Let us praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning and praise him at the noontime. Praise, oh, let us praise. Sometimes I feel like heaven has come down, heaven has come down, heaven has come down. Sometimes I feel like heaven has come down, heaven has come down on me. So let us praise him, praise.
Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise. I want to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun is going down. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came. Save my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came. Save my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Well, I think I'll testify just while I have a chance. Think I'll testify just while I have the chance. Think I'll testify while I have a chance. May not have this chance anymore. Well, I think I'll praise the Lord while I have a chance. Think I'll praise the Lord while I have a chance. Think I'll praise the Lord while I have a chance. May not have this chance anymore. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down.
Let's give Him another hand. Thank God. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down.
Let's sing this little chorus.
Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, people must be led no longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall.
Can you sing it with me?
Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Lord, longer in the wilderness to wander. Egypt bondage flee. When you cross to the other side.
Sing it again now.
Cross over to the other side of Jordan.
Think about it now. The Lord said to Joshua, prepare ye victuals, for we're going to cross over this Jordan. The carnal mind is the Jordan. To be carnally minded is death. I tell you again, God would never have made a Jordan if it wasn't to be a type of the old mind of Lucifer that got into Eve. It's in you. See, you got to get over it. And that mind is the mind that savors the things that be of this world and of the flesh, because He is the King of this world. He is the Prince of this world. Therefore, He savors the things that be of His kingdom. And if you can get over that mind, then you've got everything. Because God has already wrought victory in Jesus Christ for you to give you all things that pertain unto life. And there's nothing but a wall of unbelief that's holding it back. And the waters are pressing against the dam. The great waters of life are pressing against the dam of unbelief. And all you got to do is break down that dam of unbelief
and the waters of life will flood your soul, because everything that you want, from the redemption of the body to eternal life to all the wonderful things of life, are freely given to you in Christ Jesus. Already they've given to you. You don't have to work for them. You don't have to fast for them. You don't have to pray for them. All you have to do is believe. Someone would say, well, then why do I fast? Why do I pray? Why do I give these gifts to the poor? Why do I try to conform to righteousness? Merely for the sake of your conscience, that you might convince your heart. And then when you convince your heart that you are the friend of God by doing the things that please God, then do you have confidence that is called faith? And this faith brings you your heart's desire. And the more you believe, the more you have. You love the Lord? Your faith then is dead without your works, because you have to do something to stimulate that confidence in the finished works of Jesus Christ. You understand? But by His faith are you sanctified. God has sanctified you, justified you, glorified you, perfected you forever, once and for all. Even in the foreknowledge of God, before the world ever was, you was elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Get over the carnal mind now. Joshua said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. From Egypt, bondage flee. When you reach the other side, you shall cross over that old mind of iniquity. The Lord, the Joshua said, on the other side of unbelief, there you can be led. No longer in your intellect of wilderness to wander. From Egypt, bondage flee. And when you leave the flesh pots behind, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord Joshua said, get over the carnal mind of unbelief. Then they will find you dead. Longer in the wilderness to wander. Of the intellect of unbelief, cross over to the other side of Jordan, and ye shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. Lord, did Joshua say it? Go into the land of the living. Don't dwell among the dead. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt, bondage flee. And when you get to Canaan land, you shall be free. Cross over to the other side. Lord, did Joshua say it? If thou canst believe, you can leave the land of the dead. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord, did Joshua say it? Don't stay in the land of darkness to dwell among the dead. Cross over to the other side. The Lord to Joshua said, the other side of Jordan, people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt, bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, from sin you shall be free. Let's give Him a hand. See, let's get over the unbelief. Let's get over the carnal mind. Let's believe all things. When we believe all things, blessed is he that believeth all things. And Jesus said, Thou fool, in that thou hast not believed all things that the prophets have said. So then, to believe all things that he has said is to cross over your carnal mind of unbelief, because the only death there is an intellectual concept of religion as to unbelief in the supernatural.
And when you cross over that intellectual tree of knowledge and get rid of that old diplomacy of life as to that unbelief, take on the Word of God and have faith, then you'll get away from knowledge that puffeth up and you'll come to charity that edifieth, and charity is love is as strong as death. So to cross over your intellectual reasoning of unbelief is to have all that God has for you, which is an eternal regime with an eternal life, with an eternal body, eternal happiness. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, how far away is this? How long does it take to get there, and what do I have when I arrive? I'm trying to tell you that it doesn't take any longer than just believing. Because God did it. You crossed the Jordan by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus death is conquered, and you cannot die because you passed from death unto life. And you have everything that you want, because in His Word that cannot be altered and changed, it's the same to 1,000 generations. He has said to you and I that I've given you all things that pertain unto life. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, you can have all that you want. For it's all freely already given to you in Christ. It already belongs to you. And the only problem you have is that unbelief as the wall of iniquity that stands between you and your heavenly treasure as to this full reward. And the devil is always stirring up your mind as to the lustful things of the world to create within you an unbelief, because when you do wrong, then your conscience will not forgive you, and you will find yourself disbelieving in the wonderful supernatural life and treasures of Almighty God. That's why we say cross over to the other side of Jordan. All right, we're fixing to let you. All right, let's lift our hands up. Let's close our eyes. Let's thank God for His wonderful love, to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. If thou canst believe. The reason Jesus said, if thou canst believe, that all things are possible to them that believe, was because all things are yours. And they've already been given to you in Christ. And to simply accept that fact as a conviction is faith. I said, Brother Taylor, got $1,000,000. I've already put it in the bank for you. It's yours. I've given it to you. It's not a matter of transfer. It's just yours. And Brother Taylor says, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. I'm a pauper. I can't believe that I got $1,000,000. I said, well, Brother Taylor, you know, what are we going to do? You know, you don't have to do anything to get it. It's already there. As it was said in the time of Abe Lincoln, when there was granted unto man a pardon, and the man said, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. But they said, it is true. He hath granted you a pardon from death. But he said, I just can't believe it. And therefore, because of the execution, that is, he wouldn't accept it. He couldn't accept it. He didn't believe it was real. It was said then that a pardon is only a pardon if it is accepted. So if thou canst believe it, then you have accepted it. If you've accepted it, then is it a pardon? But if you do not believe in what he said, then the wrath of God abideth unto you, upon you, because he has sent unto you, calling you to the supper, and you've refused to come by your unbelief. So all things are yours. There's no way that you can backslide. Somebody says he backslid, and I use that term for the sake of you that listen. But there's no way you can backslide. For he said, woe unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. And he said, I have healed your backsliding. So if he be married unto you, you're his wife, whether you consider yourself backslid or whatever. See, to stumble, if you make a mistake, happy is he that doth not condemn himself in that thing which he alloweth. So God has granted you a pardon from death. He hath given you all things that pertain unto life. And now you belong to Him. Altogether you belong to Him. Nothing can separate you from Him. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Heights, nor depths, nor things present. Death cannot separate you from Him. Things, people, problems, heartaches, sorrows,
misdemeanors of life, stumblings and staggerings. A good man will fall 7 times and still get back up. Nothing can separate you from the love that was so great that it gave the best thing of heaven for your redemption and for your recovery, to have your fellowship, and for you as the prodigal to come home. As Brother Taylor said, the prodigal coming home. I can see the prodigal coming home. In the day that we're living in, the kingdom of Satan is falling, and people are beginning to hate that life out there. Those that have experienced it sees the corruption and the interwoven misery, and they hate it because it's the fall of Satan's kingdom. And that which was polished and glittery, enticing, is becoming a dunghole, and people are beginning to hate it with all that's within them. So then we can see that it's time, as the song said, to come home. Supper time, it's time to come home. The shadows are falling, it's time to come home. The bride says come, the bridegroom is saying come, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely, for all things are yours. And this is what we're preaching, as to the sounding of the trumpet, as to the finishing of the mysteries, that ye might know as sons and daughters of God that you're eternally His, that you cannot sin, you're born of God, you keep yourself, and the evil one never touches you at any time. As to your inner man, and your outer man is dead and buried with the Lord Jesus, and God never sees a stumbling and a staggering, never at any time does He see any of your stumblings and staggerings, because you are not alive anymore. You're dead and buried and gone, and all He sees is His Son Jesus, and your spirit in that body of the Lord Jesus, and that you're married to another, and that inasmuch as you are the body of the Lord Jesus, it is said, I find no fault in that just man. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Jesus died for you, and God is the one that justified you. So let's sing one more time together as we lift our hands. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Someone would say, well, what I understand, Brother Pike, is that you're telling me that if I believe, I can have all of these things. No, that's not what I'm telling you at all. I'm telling you that God has already given you all of these things. And if you don't believe, your unbelief will keep you from enjoying what you already have. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not trying to tell you that you work your way into salvation. Jesus so loved you while you were yet in your sins. He died for you when you was doing no works. How can you work your way unto salvation when He gave it to you by predestination, a foreknowledge as to Calvary before you ever came into righteousness? Paul said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now you feel you made perfect by the flesh? Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? You did run well, who hath hindered you? Lay aside the sin that thus so easily beset you, that is, kill your faith, and run with patience the race that is set before you. So then, am I telling you that you have to work your way unto salvation? I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that you've got salvation before knowledge, and that God saved you from your sins. While you were yet in your sins, Jesus died for you. And I'm telling you, because you are the predestinated, you are the elect, you are the God body, that if this be true of you, then the nature of Jesus Christ will be in you, because you're partakers of the divine nature. And it will bring forth good works, even as the nature of a tree produces according to its nature. And as the seed, so is the planting. And when the tree comes, it will automatically produce the fruits. We say, as the fruits of the Spirit, because you're born of God. You're the seed that Christ planted. Therefore, are you predestinated unto good works, and you cannot bring forth anything but good fruit. And a good fountain cannot bring forth bad water and good water. You either bring forth good water or bad water, and if you are a predestinated fountain of God, you will automatically love righteousness. His Spirit will dwell in you, and you'll bring forth the good water. And if you're not the predestinated, you can be very religious, but you'll always have your mind on the gullible desires of the flesh, and you'll bring forth your temper. You'll bring forth your lust. You'll bring forth your greed. You'll bring forth fault-finding and gossip and backbiting and reveling in the world and the love of the things of the world, because this is what's in you. And the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. And if the love of the Father is in you, then the love of the world isn't there. The world isn't there if the kingdom is there, and the kingdom isn't there if the world is there. So I'm telling you that before the children was ever born, having done no good or evil, he said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Can you lift your hands up together and believe on the Lord Jesus? Can you go forth and enjoy all of that which is yours by accepting the fact that I have told you? I have told you. You're clean through the words I've spoken. You believe in my righteousness, my cleanliness. Or as it was with Abraham, when it was said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham, I can just see him as he turned and said, Sarah, glory to God. Did you hear what that angel said? Glory to God. Better get the clothes ready, Sarah. Better get them ready. Can't you just see him? My, what is he going to look like? You know, instead of saying, how can this be? You know, with Zacharias, the angel said, and the child shall come, and his wife was barren, and he said, how can these things be? And the angel said, I stand in the presence of God, and because of your unbelief, you'll be dumb and not be able to speak till that child is born. But old Father Abraham just more or less jumped up and down and shouted and said, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. And see, that's what God wants. When his word says something down in your heart, just chuckle on the inside and rejoice and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you hear what that preacher said? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'll guarantee you, you'll enjoy the greatest things that you have ever known in your life. There will be nothing hid from you. There will nothing be kept back from you. Enjoy all the many riches that you have because you are the Son of God. Say, as the Lord said to the boy that stayed home when the prodigal came, son, son, all that I have is thine. Son, heirs and joint heirs, and Christ is yours, and all that he has is yours, and all that the Father's made known unto him, he's made known unto you as to your right to the mysteries and the great knowledge of God. So then what will I do? I will do what I'm already doing. Continue to enjoy all my wonderful wealth of heaven, all my wonderful glory of heaven, all my wonderful strength in heaven, all my wonderful life in heaven. And I will go forth into all the world to take this glad tidings of great joy to the whole world, to tell them that if thou canst believe, that means that you are a son of God. And then all things belong to you because you are a believer. All things are then possible. That is to say, not as to maybe it will happen, but all things are possible to the extent that all things will happen. All you do is believe. All right, let's lift our hands up. Close our eyes. Rich. You're rich. His blessing maketh rich, naturally and spiritually. It addeth no sorrow. I would above all things that ye prosper. That's natural. That you be in health. That's natural. As your soul prospereth as to the spiritual securities. So we sing again. I will praise him. The Bible said all of these things come upon you because you give not praise unto the Lord with joyfulness of heart. That is to say, because of unbelief in what you have been given as to health and happiness, you suffer remorse and heartaches. But if you would rejoice in what he hath given you as the confidence of faith, as Abraham did, being strong in faith, he did not consider his body as to age, being dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he rejoiced in what God has said, believing and being fully persuaded that he was able to perform that which he had promised. So today, why can we not believe? He was under the law, or rather before the law. He was without this day of grace as to the atonement. And if he believed, why is it that you cannot believe? With the confidence in your heart to encourage you,
What can you not believe? What he has said. What did he say? I've given you all things. I've given you all things that pertain unto life. And you certainly wouldn't want anything unless it had to do with the land of the living. So I will praise him. What will I praise him for? All things. The abundance of joy for all things. These things come upon you as to wrong because you don't accept all things as with joy. Quenching the fire darts of the wicked, all of them, by believing in your treasure and strength. Let the weak say, I'm strong, and be strong in the power of his might. For the blood has washed away every stain. One more time together now. I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. While you're singing, lift up your hands, close your eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Bill Nelson to come up here and dismiss us. While Bill's coming, let's praise the Lord. Can you do that?